Welcome to the Inner Side.
Big Brother is watching you, the caption said, while the dark eyes looked deeply into Winston's own. In the far distance, a helicopter skimmed down between the roofs, hovered for an instant like a blue bottle, and darted away again with a curving flight. It was the police patrol snooping into people's windows.
Let's call it five easy steps to in using fear and loathing to manipulate the public into accepting totalitarian rule. Now, after reading Orwell's 1984 several times in my lifetime, as you have, you almost have to acknowledge the evil genius of Bush's scriptwriter and puppet master, Karl Rove. What we've done here is dissected Bush's speeches, which use fear to manipulate our emotions so we'll accept the concept of endless war, so we won't press for specific...
A kilometer away, the Ministry of Truth, his place of work, towered vast and white above the grimy landscape. Were there always these vistas of rotting 19th-century houses, their sides shored up with balks of timber, their windows patched with cardboard and their roofs with corrugated iron, and the bombed sites where the plaster dust swirled in the air and the willow herb straggled over the heaps of rubble?
Specific details about the threats we face, and so we'll give up our freedoms for the promise of security. And also, we'll believe that Bush's democratic opposition is as great a threat as the shadowy terrorists waiting to kill us. Now, the first part here is Big Brother loves you. Karl Rove makes sure that Bush is placed in front of sympathetic audiences. In the first segment of every speech, Bush begins by thanking whatever carefully chosen group he's addressing.
The Ministry of Truth, Minitrue in Newspeak, was startlingly different from any other object in sight. It was an enormous pyramidal structure of glittering white concrete, soaring up terrace after terrace, 300 meters into the air. From where Winston stood, it was just possible to read, picked out on its white face in elegant lettering, the three slogans of the party. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength.
I want to thank Hal Bruno and the directors of the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
I want to thank you all for giving me the chance to come by a place of love and compassion.
Thank you for letting me come by. Keep working hard.
Thank the teachers who are here. I also want to thank the students and the veterans and my fellow Americans.
Thank you for coming. I want to welcome you here.
Many of you will play a crucial part in our victory against terrorism.
I also want to thank all who work with the USO. You're serving in a crucial moment for the cause of peace and freedom. And your country thanks you.
And for those of you who've got a relative in the military, thank you from our bottom of our heart.
And I also want to thank Wayne Newton for being here.
Now, that's the first part. All the thank yous. Next, stand by for an important announcement from the Ministry of Truth. It's in the second segment of Bush's canned speech that he begins to instill fear and terror. He uses deliberately vague but terrifying adjectives to describe the dangers Americans face.
War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength.
We face perils we've never thought about. Perils we've never seen before. But they're dangerous.
This is good versus evil. These are evildoers. They have no justification.
Axis of evil.
Our struggle is against evil people. Evil people that claim they're religious but are not. Evil weapons.
Great evil is stirring in the world.
Cult of evil. We fight evil. They're flat evil.
The evildoers are continuing to try to harm America and Americans.
The evildoers. Hands of evildoers. There's no shadow of the world dark enough for them to kind of slither around in. There's a real threat. There are people who want to use death. They want to murder innocent lives.
Genocide. April 4th, 1984, last night to the flicks, all war films. One very good one of a ship full of refugees being bombed somewhere in the Mediterranean. Audience much amused by shots of a great huge fat man trying to swim away with a helicopter after him. First you saw him wallowing along in the water like a porpoise, then you saw him through the helicopter's gun sights, then he was full of holes, and the sea round him turned pink and he sank as suddenly as though the holes had let in the water. Audience shouting with laughter when he sank. And then you saw a lifeboat full of children with a helicopter hovering over it. There was a middle-aged woman sitting up in the bow with a little boy about 3 years old in her arms. Little boy screaming with fright, and the woman putting her arms around him and comforting him, although she was blue with fright herself. All the time covering him up as much as possible as if she thought her arms could keep the bullets off. And then the helicopter planted a 20-kilo bomb in among them. Terrific flash, and the boat went all to matchwood. Then there was a wonderful shot of a child's arm going up, 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 right up into the air. A helicopter with a camera in its nose must have followed it up, and there was a lot of applause from the party seats. But a woman, down in the proly part of the house, suddenly started kicking up a fuss and shouting, "They didn't oughter shout it, not in front of the kids. They didn't. It ain't right. Not in front of kids. It ain't." Until the police turned her out. I don't suppose anything happened to her. Nobody cares what the prolies say.
Al-Qaeda is extremely dangerous. The danger is that Al-Qaeda becomes an extension of Saddam's madness. He has made it very clear he hates the United States.
And it's terrifying. Children are forbidden to fly kites. A girl of 7 is beaten for wearing white shoes.
The Iraqi regime practices the rape of women.
A leader who has killed thousands of people, a leader who is brutal.
They're seeking chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons.
The regime is seeking a nuclear bomb.
Somewhere far away, a rocket bomb exploded with a dull, reverberating roar. Down in the street, the wind flapped the torn poster to and fro, and the word Ingsos fitfully appeared and vanished. Ingsos, the sacred principles of Ingsos, newspeak, doublethink, the immutability of the past. He felt as though he were wandering in the forest of the sea bottom, lost in a monstrous world where he himself was the monster. He was alone. The past was dead. The future was unimaginable. What certainty had he that a single human creature now living was on his side? And what way of knowing that the dominion of the party would not endure forever? Like an answer, the three slogans on the white face of the Ministry of Truth came back at him. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons that would create incredible havoc here at home.
Biological and chemical weapons.
Xanthrax or VX, nerve gas.
We face a second wave of terrorist attacks in the form of deadly anthrax.
We're stockpiling enough smallpox vaccine
Freedom
for every man, woman,
slavery.
And child in America.
They're still out there. These people are, these killers, they're still lurking around.
There are still trained killers around.
That thousands of trained killers are plotting to attack us.
Barbaric killers.
Ignorance are still out there.
They're nothing but a bunch of cold-blooded killers.
I also know that the enemy still wants to hit us.
They've hit us before, and they want to hit us again.
More dangers and sacrifices lie ahead.
Threat to every nation, and eventually to civilization
Freedom
itself.
Freedom is slavery.
Harm civilization as we know it.
The danger to our country is grave. The danger to our country
War
is growing.
Is peace.
I know the risks to our country, whose risks
Freedom
only
is
increase
slavery.
With time. The threats to the homeland are growing threats. These people aren't going away anytime soon.
And the morning that hadn't gone by, that I haven't saw or read threats.
Sometimes it seems like the terrorist threat may be going away. But all you gotta do is look on your TV today.
Winston kept his back turned to the telescreen. It was safer.
Must recognize that no one is safe.
It's the new reality.
Free world is... Must recognize that no one is safe. No one is safe. No one is safe.
Oceania, 'Tis for Thee gave way to lighter music.
Now, step three. Oceania has always been at war with East Asia. War is peace. You see, once Bush establishes that the vague threats against Americans are permanent, it's easier for the masses to accept the concept that the war on terror must also be permanent.
The rolling of drums and squealing of trumpets, the tramp of marching feet, the grinding of the caterpillars of tanks, the roar of massed planes, the booming of guns. After 6 days of this, when the great orgasm was quivering to its climax, at just this moment, it had been announced that Oceania was not, after all, at war with Eurasia. Oceania was at war with East Asia. Eurasia was an ally.
Americans now are also beginning to accept that they must give up freedoms because their very lives are at stake. Bush concludes this portion of his speech by further blurring the language with such newspeak as, "We're at war to keep the peace."
We're now in the first war of the 21st century, and it's a different kind of war than we're used to. We're at war. We're at war. And we're still at war. We're still at risk here in America. We're at war. This is a unconventional war. It's a different kind of war. It's not the kind of war that we're used to in America. Because the nature of war has changed. We're vulnerable.
I don't care how long it takes. This is a larger campaign against anybody who hates freedom.
There was, of course, no admission that any change had taken place. Merely it became known with extreme suddenness and everywhere at once that East Asia and not Eurasia was the enemy. Winston was taking part in a demonstration in one of the central London squares at the moment when it happened. It was night, and the white faces and the scarlet banners were luridly floodlit. The square was packed with several thousand people, including a block of about 1,000 school children in the uniform of the spies. On a scarlet-draped platform, an orator of the inner party, a small, lean man with disproportionately long arms and a large, bald skull over which a few lank locks straggled, was haranguing the crowd. A little rumpelstiltskin figure, contorted with hatred, he gripped the neck of the microphone with one hand, while the other, enormous at the end of a bony arm, clawed the air menacingly above his head. His voice, made metallic by the amplifiers, boomed forth an endless catalogue of atrocities, massacres, deportations, lootings, rapings, torture of prisoners, bombing of civilians, lying propaganda, unjust aggressions, broken treaties. It was almost impossible to listen to him without being first convinced and then maddened.
Duration. We must never forget that this is a long struggle, that there are evil people in the world who hate America. People often ask me, how long will this last? This particular battlefront will last as long as it takes. It's going to take a while. It can take a while. This is going to be a long struggle. I keep saying that. And the American people shouldn't be surprised that we are issuing alert. Yesterday or a couple of days ago, I put the country on alert for a reason. Today, the Justice Department did issue a blanket alert, recognition of a general threat we received. It was a general threat on America. Ours is a war against terrorism in general. I think the American people understand we're in for a long, long struggle in order to rid the world of terrorism and that there might be loss of life.
We take lives when we have to protect the people.
We will take actions necessary to protect American people. And I'm going to leave it at that.
I will not discuss the intelligence that our country has gathered.
As to whether or not we will put troops on the ground, I'm not going to tell you. We will not share intelligence, nor will we talk about military plans that we may have or may not have in the future.
There will never be peace so long as there's terror.
And when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace.
And we'll always value freedom. But we're at war.
But that's the realities of the new world.
that when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace. That when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace.
At every few moments, the fury of the crowd boiled over and the voice of the speaker was drowned by a wild, beast-like roaring that rose uncontrollably from thousands of throats. The most savage yells of all came from the school children. The speech had been proceeding for perhaps 20 minutes when a messenger hurried onto the platform and a scrap of paper was slipped into the speaker's hand. He unrolled and read it without pausing in his speech. Nothing altered in his voice or manner or in the content of what he was saying, but suddenly the names were different. Without words said, a wave of understanding rippled through the crowd. Oceania was at war with East Asia.
But that's the realities of the New World.
That when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace. That when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace.
Now, step four, you've got to hate the resistance. Now that Americans, with these speeches, are sufficiently terrified and ready to accept anything that'll give them even a drop of security, Bush moves on to phase four of his speech, explaining that the only hope for any security is to give his administration the power to do whatever it wants for the good of America and to protect the homeland, such as locking up Americans in detention camps, wiretapping our phones, making the tax cuts for the wealthy permanent, enacting the Homeland Security Bill, attacking Iraq, and so on and so on. It is in this portion of Bush's canned speech that Karl Rove is at his most devious. He has Bush tell the public that some in Washington don't care about their safety. Now, Americans immediately are supposed to associate the Democratic opposition with the shadowy evildoers and become enraged at anyone who would put them at risk. And as a result, the congressional opposition is intimidated, both by Bush and now by their constituents, and it backs down. I urge the Senate to pass the faith-based initiative for the good of America. The terrorists attacked the World Trade Center. I've asked the Congress to give me what's called trade promotion authority. It is in our national interest that we have an energy plan, our national security interest, and I ask the Senate to put aside all the politics. Yet recent events have been a shock, no question about it, have shocked our economy. I urge Congress to act now to accelerate the tax relief we've already planned for the years ahead. So we need to pass that bill. I think for the good of the American people, that bill ought to get out of the United States Senate and get to my desk so that we can help the unemployed people grow jobs. There are some in Washington who want to stop the tax relief, which is like a tax increase, which would be an unmitigated disaster.
We better find terrorism insurance, because without it, it would be a catastrophic problem.
A delay in decision and inaction could lead to a massive and sudden harm. It makes eminent sense to have the military tribunal option available. It makes sense for national security purposes. It makes sense for homeland security. We must do everything we can to protect the homeland. Doing everything we can to protect our people. And that's why I'm asking Congress to pass a significant budget increase to focus on bioterrorism. I expect the United States Congress to get the defense bill to my desk quickly. They don't need to delay the defense bill in a time of war. And a time of war is the wrong time to weaken the president's ability to protect the American people. I ask for Congress's support to enable the administration to keep the peace. Cannot have bureaucratic rules preventing this president's ability to keep the peace. That's what this is all about. Congress must give us the flexibility necessary to make the right decisions. If a rule stands in the way of being able to better protect the homeland, I should be able to suspend that rule. And when we face unprecedented threats like we're facing, we cannot have business as usual. Terrorists are very sophisticated, and so therefore we must give the FBI the ability to track calls. I'm not going to accept legislation that limits or weakens the president's well-established authorities. First of all, I'm not going to let Congress erode the power of the executive branch. I have a duty to protect the executive branch from legislative encroachment.
Why would Congress want to weaken the resolution?
Because of special interests in Washington, D.C., refuses to or trying to strip me of that power. The Senate is more interested in special interests in Washington and not interested in the security of the American people. They should not protest because it is in the best interest of freedom and humankind.
You're either with us or you're against us.
Are you either with us or you're with the enemy?
You're either with us or against us. We mean it. There's no middle ground when it comes to freedom and terror.
The issue is now before the United States Congress. This debate will be closely watched by the American people. I'm confident that members of both parties will choose wisely.
Now, the fifth step is to take us to the point where we love Big Brother. In order to manipulate the public into accepting this fascist regime, Karl Rove determined that every speech must end on a positive, hopeful note if we'll just go along with Bush. So at the end of each speech, Bush stirs Americans into patriotic, flag-waving fervor using carefully chosen emotional terms that trigger vivid imagery like planting the flag of freedom forever and winning the war for our children and our grandchildren.
I am going to seize this moment for the good of the world, for peace in the world, and for freedom. I believe our soul is strong. Our constitution is firm. People of all faiths, all religions, all areas of our country are united in the common effort to stamp out evil where we find it. It is not only important for the homeland security of America that we succeed, it is equally as important for generations of Americans who have yet be born.
Before he threatens freedom, before he threatens America, and before he threatens civilization, we owe it to our children, and we owe it to our grandchildren.
Those men and women, boys and girls.
This mighty nation is going to track them down until we can say with certainty our children and our grandchildren are free. It's important that when our children read about military movements or arrests, we owe it to our children to defend freedom. Out terror wherever it hides and wherever it exists so the world can be free for our children and our grandchildren.
We must win. We have no other choice for our children and our grandchildren. We will plant that flag of freedom forever by keeping strong and adhering to the values we hold so dear, starting with freedom.
Well, we will plant our flag on the ground, a flag that stands for freedom, and say to anybody who wants to harm us, you will pay a serious price because we're a nation that is strong and resolved and united.
The next moment there was a tremendous commotion. The banners and posters with which the square was decorated were all wrong. Quite half of them had the wrong faces on them. It was sabotage. The agents had been at work. There was a riotous interlude while posters were ripped from the walls, banners torn to shreds and trampled underfoot. The spies performed prodigies of activity in clambering over the rooftops and cutting the streamers that fluttered from the chimneys, but within 2 or 3 minutes it was all over. The orator, still gripping the neck of the microphone, his shoulders hunched forward, his free hand clawing at the air, had gone straight on with his speech. 1 minute more, and the feral roars of rage were again bursting from the crowd. The hate continued exactly as before, except that the target had been changed.
Easy steps to use fear and loathing to manipulate the public, this public, into accepting totalitarian rule. Big Brother loves you. Stand by for an important announcement from the Ministry of Truth. Oceania has always been at war with East Asia, and war is peace. Hate the resistance. And finally, we love Big Brother. Bush establishes that the big threats against Americans are permanent. And once that is established, it's so much easier for the masses to accept the concept that the war on terror must also be permanent.
Bush conditions the public to accept perpetual war by using perpetual fear, using indistinct terms like different kind of war, blanket alerts due to general threats. And because they are now terrified, Americans accept the fact that they must be kept in the dark for their own safety and protection. So they don't challenge Bush when he refuses to be specific about the nature of the threats or details of the perpetual war. So now we Americans are beginning to accept that we must give up freedom because our very lives are at stake.
To the nearer table. He set it down carefully on the baize cloth. Winston could hear the blood singing in his ears. He had the feeling of sitting in utter loneliness. He was in the middle of a great empty plain, a flat desert drenched with sunlight across which all sounds came to him out of immense distances. And yet the cage with the rats was not 2 meters away from him. And they were enormous rats. They were at the age when a rat's muzzle grows blunt and fierce, and his fur brown instead of gray. "The rat," said O'Brien, still addressing his invisible audience, "the rat, although a rodent, is carnivorous. You are aware of that. You will have heard of the things that happen in the poor quarters of this town. In some streets, a woman dare not leave her baby alone in the house even for 5 minutes. The rats are certain to attack it. Within quite a small time, they will strip it to the bones. They also attack sick or dying people. They show astonishing intelligence in knowing when a human being is helpless." Winston made a frantic effort to tear himself loose from the chair. It was hopeless. Every part of him, even his head, was held immovably. O'Brien moved the cage nearer. It was less than a meter from Winston's face. "The mask will fit over your head, leaving no exit. And when I press this other lever, the door of the cage will slide up. These starving brutes will shoot out of it like bullets. Have you ever seen a rat leap through the air? They will leap onto your face and bore straight into it. Sometimes they attack the eyes first. Sometimes they burrow through the cheeks and devour the tongue." Cage was nearer. It was closing in. Winston heard a succession of shrill cries which appeared to be occurring in the air above his head. But he felt furious.
This is KPFT Houston, and that was Mike Molloy, who assembled all of the Bush quotes and provided commentary. Readings of 1984 were provided by the Pacifica Archive. Special help from Skidmark Bob from Free Radio Santa Cruz. For more about Free Radio Santa Cruz, tune in to freakradio.org. This has been The Inner Side. I'm your host, Scooter. See you next week.
This is KPFT, Houston.